You caught us at the great transition in our life. Do we have a slideshow? I think we're gonna have to go pretty quickly on this because I bet you the lunch that's cooking is gonna grab our attention very, very soon, and we'll all be hearing growling stomachs out there. So I'm gonna try to march through some of this, because the one thing about doing this is trying to know where to land. And because there's been so many things that have happened in our lives. So I'm going to touch base with some of the earlier years, and I'm going to touch base with a few things along the way and hone in on our own us. You know, how does this affect all of this, all of us, and where do we go from here? Can I have a second slide up with these little girls? These are my granddaughters, and they just came down. They live in Golden. Where my oldest daughter, all my daughters, all three of them are living in Golden at this point in time. We also have a little grandson. But they were busy. They were so full of life and energy. And all they could do at that point in time was sing. You know, they were just singing. And I watched that song. And so the next slide, do you guys know this song? Some of you know this song, don't you? Let It Go. They sang it everywhere, every corner, all around. So finally I had to rent the movie online and watch Frozen, you know, and to get, what are they singing about? And so let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Sounds kind of a cold idea. But the whole concept that came out in that movie was, can one act of love melt frozen hearts and change the world? And one act of love can. I'm going to show you the next slide here. We're going to go right to that. I want to tell you briefly just a little story. This happened a year and a half ago. This couple, they live in Shun State, Myanmar, in Burma. It's eastern Burma. It's in the Golden Triangle right now. It's the second biggest producing area of opium in the world. There's a lot of drug trafficking. There's a lot of human trafficking happening. And this little girl was sold pre-birth. She was going to be sold into the human trafficking stream. They got, they heard about it, and they asked Rob and Judy, what can we do? We want to help. We want to have a child of our own. They couldn't have their own children. And so we prayed about it, and we saw something happen, how God brought it together, and we were able to, they were able to legally adopt this little girl. Her name is Nan Hom, and we were just there. This is just 1 month ago. We were visiting them just over the border in Tuchy Lake, Myanmar. And they were just delighted. You know, this little one is growing up in a home. She's not out in this human trafficking stream. God has given her a place. And what a beautiful psalm at the bottom there, where it says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. I know that God set me in the family of God, a long time ago already, when I was a young man of 23. And He set me in the family of God. He's adopted all of us into His family who believe in the name of Jesus. We are in God's family. And it's a beautiful thing. But I really do believe, though, that there's more work to be done, and how one act of love can change the world. Obviously, we know the greatest act of love was Jesus Christ Himself. Can we get the next slide up? Yeah, a number of years ago already, 2006, that's when we moved to Thailand. What brought us there? My wife and I had been pastors in Abbotsford at Center Heights Mennonite Brethren Church, and Judy was also full-time with Youth for Christ, I should say. But we were called to go there and help serve after the tsunami and the big Indian Ocean tsunami that claimed over 250,000 lives. And that's where God broke our hearts for Asia. We'd been there a couple times before. We'd brought young people there on mission trips. It had been exciting. But this is where God broke our hearts. And He says, you've got to do more. This land, 99.4% of the people do not know Jesus. It's a hard land. It's a hard language. It's an incredible culture. It's very beautiful, and at the same time, it's very dark. How can that go together? It is. Thailand represents that, and the whole area around it does too. There's been so much conflict, so many issues and wars and troubles. You probably heard of Cambodia, of Vietnam, of Burma, places like that where oppression has just been so huge in that area. So there's a lot of work to be done there. Well, when we went to Thailand, we moved there, we found that there was a lot more than just these type of things. The next slide shows you that we also had snakes. Do you guys like snakes? Nobody likes snakes. This python, you know, we were riding our bikes on the way to our language school, and this guy, he got caught stealing a chicken, so they roped up his head there, and then he was kind of done for, but the chicken was still needing to come out. We saw so many things, as Judy was saying, how you enter in and you enculturate, and we were different. People really did say there's a white skinned person there. That's what it means. Farang means white skin. And we saw what people did there. They're very religious people. Like the Apostle Paul noted in Acts 17, he says, "I see you are a very religious people." If you go to Bangkok today, you will see all over the place there are idols everywhere. And there are people are praying before these idols and caught up in worship and praying and dedicated, strong and dedicated. You can go to the next slide as well, and the next one. We'll just skip through there. So they're there. We weren't in Thailand alone. The next slide will show that we had a team that formed. It was called Operation Second Wave. We called it that because the first wave was a wave of destruction that destroyed so much of the coastline and so many lives. The second wave was the wave that God brought a team of people together, and we engaged southern Thailand together. And so this team was, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of energy in this team. We got the Woolette family, the Clausen family, our daughters, Amber and Amanda, were with us at that point in time, and Cynthia Friesen. So we had a power-packed team and lots of energy, and we had a lot of fun. Next slide will show how we went out and were doing outreach to our neighbors. And kids were coming from all over the place, all over the Muban, we call it. And they were drawing in, and they loved it. We had so much fun reaching out to them. Bible studies were perking up everywhere. Kids were interested. We were able to get into the schools. Very, very tight to get into a school. And in Canada, it's tough to do this. But there we were given, at Christmas time, we were given permission to tell about Jesus. And this is a Buddhist school. Man, what a lot of fun this was. So we were out there in the community and digging in. My wife and I were with this team for over 3 years, 3.5 years. And then God led us to part ways. Next slide. It's just sometimes you're at the ocean's edge and you say, "What happened?" Well, sometimes God moves you in mysterious ways. He moved us up into northern Thailand in late 2009, early 2010. We stepped up and we moved into that area, and we entered this place called Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai is a lot different than Phuket. It's got a lot of old temples. It's got a one-mile square moated city in the middle, where that moat used to be stocked with crocodiles, for those of guys who are, brave swimmers would like to get across that. But they weren't there anymore. But the most important thing as we engage Chiang Mai is we engage this ministry called the Garden of Hope. We got to catch up a little bit here. I gotta say click, click. Yeah, I should have a remote control here. No, we could do it. Kind of like a TV. No. So, one more. Yeah, okay. So this was 2010, and we were up there in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and we helped with a lot of ministries there. A lot of what was going on was we were asked to step in on an interim basis and help direct this other mission called the Garden of Hope. MB Mission put us on loan, and this mission was helping to bring people out of prostitution, women out of prostitution, and retrain them for a new career. It was helping to stop human trafficking by protecting girls in a safe house in Myanmar, and also helping to stop local exploitation by helping to take kids off the street and helping these kids with no ID to be able to go to school. In that period of time, as the next slide will show, the God renewed a calling on our lives. He just tugged at our hearts about working with the poor and the oppressed. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. This is God's calling on our lives. And we were coming alive in this area of Thailand. Kids with no ID, helping them to get ID, helping them to go to school, operating a safe house over the border in Burma in a very troubled area. These are girls. Can we move along here? Sorry. Next slide. And one more. Yeah, so this is the safe house here. As we were in Shan State, we had to go and cross over. And this was sometimes a bit risky to do because we had to carry the money for this to survive, safe house to survive. Burma is changing now. This is 3 years ago. They kind of have a partial democratic government now. We see changes happening. Some exciting things are happening. But yet, it's actually getting worse in this area for exploitation. The next slide will show several girls. And we talked about this a few years ago, how these girls had been sold for their virginity, a very troubling thing. 13 years old was the time. You know, out there in that land, they say if you have a daughter, you've won the lottery. And it's a terrible thing, because for the parents who are, a lot of them are desperately poor, they look at that as a way to survive. And that's today, folks. This is 2014. We're in a land that's very progressive here. We don't think that's happening, but it is happening, and it's actually on the increase in the world. Can you believe that? Human slavery is on the increase, is not going away. Well, among them, and the next slide will show that we saw a church starting, and again in the other slide, how several of them responded in faith. So we had many baptisms going on. And we would sneak them back over the border into Thailand, where we could get them into a swimming pool and baptize them there at a local hotel. Well, God has a way of moving you along. He's already moved us to northern Thailand. He'd broken our hearts for that ministry, but the catchword was interim. Judy and I were in there, but we were interim leaders. Because that mission was set to find a long-term leader, and MB Mission wanted to get us back into straight-up church planting. So they asked us to step away, and then we began to explore northeast Thailand, the Isan region, over 20 million people in that area. Can you show us the next slide? Oh, yeah, hey, we jumped one. But anyway, that's fine. The Isan, yeah, we say that, you know, you got surprises here, man. They got dinosaurs there. And, yeah, they're not real. But, you know, we just, what is real is there's a lot of people there who need Jesus. And we were making plans. We had honed down. We had searched out. We had traveled through most of those 20-plus provinces and prayed and said, God, where do you want to put a church? There are some areas there, can you believe this? There are some areas there where there's hundreds of thousands of people and there isn't even one single care group. And there's nothing. You can travel miles and miles. We can travel through village after village after village where there is no presence of Jesus. And so this is a needy area. So we're gearing up. And Judy and I, in our spirits, we're saying, this is exciting. But at the same time, we're saying, something's off. We couldn't figure it out. And then we came home briefly. It was just going to be a quick, brief turnaround. We came home just for our daughter's wedding in September 2012. And one morning I woke up really sick just before the wedding. And I said, what's going on? And I passed out and they rushed me to the hospital. And then they found out that I had a tumor in my stomach. On the next slide, I think it is. You see, I'm in Chilliwack Hospital here, and we're going through surgery. Ricky Sanchez, our country leader, happened to be back from Thailand as well, so he visited me at the hospital. But it was like suddenly the brakes are on. And interestingly, in our lives, God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Well, this time literally stopped the train, and we had to get off. We had other family issues and things going on at that point in time. Our oldest daughter and her husband were going through a real hard time, and our mission leaders heard our hearts and knew we needed time to recover. We needed time to invest back into our family. And so they granted us a health leave. And during that time, we're up in Golden with our grandchildren. I think we can go to the next slide. And so at that point in time, enjoying being with them, but yet wondering, God, I'm not done yet. We're not done in Thailand. We've got all this vision. There's so much more. There's so many more people who need Jesus out there. God, what about them? You know, and yet we're hearing more and more also. There's a calling here to family as well. So through that period of time, we came up to a decision, and we said we realized this is going to be our final season with MB Mission. We didn't know anything beyond that at that point in time, but in faith we said we need to make that decision first, and then find out what God would have for us next. One of the major things was with Judy's mom. She's really been doing poorly as well, and Judy is her oldest daughter of two daughters, and the other one's living in Eastern Canada. So we felt that, you know, there's calling here, family here, there's needs here, but God led us to one more push, and we went back to Thailand, and we had a great run. Let's take the next slide. There you go, over the ocean. Hope you guys can make that flight one day. I know a number of you here have. Probably a number of you from Asia have been to China and Korea and different places. But when we go into Thailand, we went right into it. And the next picture shows that we're doing outreaches in these slum areas, in these multi-housing where they just slap up housing over the marshes here. And there's all these people are migrant workers coming into Thailand. And they're looked down upon. They're foreigners just like us. So we had something in common. The only thing is they're Burmese. And Thailand and Burma have been enemies for so long. When historically, Thais use them, but they don't like them. And so Burmese would come because the poverty is so bad in their country that they could, even at the basic Thai wage, they were making way more than they could in Burma. And so we went out and we came out to just share the good news. And as soon as you do that, these people will welcome you in. You see the next slide? You know, come, sit with us, enjoy a meal. You know, you've got to get some pretty good calluses on your backside because you're sitting on hard floors a lot in this type of ministry. And don't forget, it's baking heat too. So, sweat and sit and enjoy. That's why they always put out pop for you to drink and different things. And they love spicy food, just like the Thais. So anyway, we go out there, as the next slide will show. We're in this one complex. There's absolutely no Christian stuff going on in this area at all. So we're just, hello, Mingalaba. That's how you say hello in Burmese. And hey, we have good news. Can we talk to you and just find out, would you like to learn some English? You know, would you like, you know, can, you know, find a way to communicate with them? And as you see, the next slide shows they would welcome us in and we would be able to teach. And then teaching would give us an opportunity as we keep moving along here to be able to share Jesus. And we had one gal in the next slide, the gal on the left in the black. She has been a Christian for 2 years, just 2 years. She was a devout Buddhist before, and she turned to Jesus. And this girl, let me tell you, she is stoked. She is ready to do anything. And we just love her and her passion. So we would go and pray for people, and these people, God would show up. It's amazing. God would just show up. These people, and these girls were saying, I've had migraine. I can't get rid of my migraine headache. You know, do you have a migraine headache? Do you have somebody praying for you? Do you have pain? Do you have sorrow? The church is here. You guys are praying. This is awesome. I love the prayers earlier. And so this is all we were doing was, you know, finding a way to help them, you know, teaching some English so they can maybe use that to get a leg up, but also teaching about Jesus and praying for them. And that's our strategy. It's very simple. But we just have to go. We just have to go and be there. We helped, next slide shows this place called the Pineapple Factory Village. Again, these people, they were living in converted chicken coops and places where, you know, they cleared all the chickens out and then the people moved in. That's where these people would live. And so we found an opening. Several of these people received Christ and were baptized. They're all brand new Christians there. These people are baby Christians, but they're so excited about Jesus. They're so excited because they see Him changing their world, changing their lives. Next slide, I'll tell you that His gospel message is going out to the ends of the earth. It only takes a willing heart. And this is the first time I say, are you willing to let your heart go? Let it go. You know, get in line and do this. You know, I think wherever we are, you know, as we're prepared to step out, God is willing to do this. Have you heard this? Can I get the next slide up? Have you heard this? We are all called to share the good news. All of us. And I know many of you are doing this. But it's good to encourage each other and remind each other of these opportunities. We don't know when they're going to come up. Some years ago, we talked about divine appointments and how God shows up in our days, and suddenly we have this opportunity. How do you connect with people? How do you get started? This is a pattern that, you know, as we look at this, and I want to look at my watch here because I want to try to unpack this a little bit. Just a bit, what Paul's doing here as we looked at Acts chapter 17. And you got Bibles in your pews. If you wanted to go back to that, you can open it up. But very quickly, I just want to talk about this. In all of our journeying, in all of our lives, I think it starts with earning a hearing and showing respect. In the whole journey of bringing Jesus to people, you know, we can't come into a place like Thailand or Burma and say, "Hey, look at us! We're the white man here. We got the right." That is so. No way. That will not work anywhere. It doesn't work in Canada. It won't work in Vancouver. That's for sure. And it won't work over there as well. They look at us and they say, "You're different." You know, maybe you've got, from their perspective, they'll say maybe you've got, better karma. You know, maybe you have a better past life and you did better, so maybe you have a better thing. We have to earn a hearing. We have to understand where they're coming from. We have to understand why they do that. I have to understand, why are girls going into prostitution? Why do they do this? Why do they sell their bodies to men over there? Why do they think it's their fate to do that? They call it wangum in Thai. They say it's their fate. They have to do this to pay off their badness from before, that they've been a bad person. So by doing this, by offering their bodies, they can help. And help their families have a better life, and therefore they can move on from there and have a better life themselves next time. We say, "No, let me tell you about Jesus." And we say, "Hey, I see you're very religious. I see you're a person with a good heart in the midst of all of that, right? You're a person who hurts, who has a heart that wants to do right." We find something in common out here. Some of you are Canucks fans. Out here, some of you are people who, you know, you have music. You have so many different things that are culturally there in Vancouver. Some of you are sports lovers. Some of you, you know, maybe you like, you know, jumping out of airplanes. I don't know. But the thing is, somewhere along the line, you're doing something and you're touching people where they're at. You're working, you're going to school, you're in the real world out there, and all it starts with is earning a hearing and letting them see something different in you. They're seeing somebody with the Spirit of God in them. I'm hoping it's making a difference, right, in how you interact with people. Finding common ground. Look at how Paul said, you know, this you have this statue to this unknown God. right? You have this statue to this unknown God. I've had conversations like that with the Thai people as they have these picto boards in their huge temples of all their Thai history, and they have all their demons and angels and everything doing war. And I talk to them about that, and I say, man, you guys are very religious, you know, and look at that. And so we have to find a place to launch off and start. But I can't come in and saying, that's an idol, you're going to hell. They won't listen to me. They just won't. Somehow those messages just don't take, do they? So we have to find out why they do what they do. And, you know, through that, through a message like Paul has here, he's just, where does he start? He's starting in the synagogue where all his common people, or the Jews like him, right? And the God-fearers would meet there. And then every day he's going into the marketplace. He's just going where life is happening. Marketplaces are a lot of fun. We call them malls out here. Or, you know, out there, though, in Thailand, we still have, you know, markets where you can buy fresh fruit on one side and there's pig heads on the other side, you know, and all the good smells that go with that in between. But we're just interacting with the people, you know. Hey, you know, this is life. This is where we meet, you know. And so we can talk to them. But I think in all of this, our hope, and Paul had a very good opportunity here. What did he do? He just straight up preached the word. You know, he showed them, you know, the problem. There is a problem, you know. God, there is a God. There's a creator God. And God, you know, yeah, you might be doing this now, but this has been an ignorance, but there's judgment coming. There is a judge coming. There is a program. This world is on a timeline, and God has it. This is very real today, just like it was 2,000 years ago. Matter of fact, I think we're a little closer to the end of that. And so I think there's a point of urgency here where, you know, this message still needs to go out today. Folks, Jesus is coming soon. Everywhere we would go, and we learn this in Burmese, we say, Yesu sen like a nibi. He is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Do you believe Jesus is coming back? He is. And that is what stirs us. Because he's coming back. If Jesus comes back tonight, don't you want to make sure everybody you know has a chance? Because eternity is just around the corner. Eternity is just a heartbeat away. We're there. We're right there. We're right at the cusp. And so Paul goes right to it. This is a one-shot opportunity for him. He's working with all these guys, and he's in Athens. Man, Athens is like the top university land of the area. Athens had all the top scholars. You know, they had, where did Plato, you know, all these guys, Socrates, you know, they had all these guys who had been deep thinkers, you know. This was Athens, man. This is like the top university. These guys are, let's hear your idea, ha, 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 ha. You know, and he goes for it, and he says, you got to hear it then. And he takes them right through the path of the gospel, but very briefly. And then, with the Christian message, and it's what we've been singing about, you never exclude the resurrection. Because in Christianity, if there's no resurrection, we're just another social organization. This is what we believe in, the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. He conquered death, and he's the one who's going to make it all possible. And this is strange. It's strange today. It was incredibly strange to them then. It would be incredibly strange to Buddhist people in Thailand and Myanmar. But this is the mystery. God is doing this. This is God's program, and God will do it. He can do it. He can raise people from the dead. That is amazing. It is a miracle. It's huge. And it's going to happen. And so this was Paul's presentation. I do say this at the end. Just like Paul, you know, in a sense, he left it there. He didn't really get a chance to say, oh, by the way, those of you who want to receive Jesus today, can you put your hands up? He didn't say that. Most of the time, we don't need to say that. Most of the time, as the Word of God does its work in people's lives, the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts. And there are a few that came to Christ there. And it was reputed that one of them went on to become a church leader in Athens. We don't know a lot. We don't have a lot of history to go on, but we do know the faithfulness that Paul had in this type of a presentation. So again, it starts with us being out there, being in the marketplace. It starts with us being aware. Somebody may be hurting around you. You may have some common ground with them where you can go and just touch them. Just pray for them. Just offer something that they can't get from anywhere else. Seldom, very seldom, even Thailand, Burma, anywhere, even here in Canada, very seldom has anybody ever refused it when I offered to pray for them. And so when you can find that opportunity, love your neighbors in these ways. The next slide, we just say, well, can we? Oh, didn't that one get up there? Oops. Okay, well, you heard that one. How about the next one past that? We'll just skip to the next one. All right. Live unfrozen, love your neighbors, and find your cause. I just think that all of us, God has raised you all up. Some of you are, you know, a little older than me, not a whole lot. I'm in my late 50s here. Some of you are a little younger than me. But what gets you going? What gets you excited? And if you haven't got it, just ask God to birth in you a calling. Just ask God to give you His burden. Some of you may be big on injustice and helping to correct those problems. This world needs people like you to go and help, to speak on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. Others of you are involved in different things. I know you are already. But I think in our lives, if we can get marching on the causes God gives us in our hearts, that gives us a big, strong reason to keep going out there. The gospel cause is what underlies it all. People need Jesus. This world needs Jesus. That's what makes me come unfrozen and engage life. That's what makes me live. That's what makes me want to do more. This past season, God has revealed to me that this whole idea of making an ultimate contribution. And during that time we were on our health leave, I realized I wasn't done. You know, God gave me life, you know. I had a tumor, but by His grace, it wasn't malignant that it would spread through my body yet. By His grace, they got it in time. And so I'm saying, okay, God, I'm not done. There must be something more. And so yet we were wrestling with this whole thing with, you know, our own situation with our families, the needs that are in our family. And God called us to cross over. And even if we can't understand it, even if we're involved in something that's great, God may call you to cross over and do something different for a greater reason. We just don't know it yet, right? So next slide will show you the bridge that sometimes you face. Sometimes crossing over is a very scary thing. Right now, Judy and I are crossing over to a new reality. We've crossed back into Canada. You might say, well, what's so weird about that? Well, for us, it's a bit strange. There's minor adjustments you make, like driving on the other side of the road. Those are very minor things. But for us right now, it's the concept of we're actually staying put in one place for a while now. We've been on a journey. We've been on a long journey. And God is calling us to stay here. But we're not done. And that's what He revealed to us in our hearts. We're not done. This burden in Southeast Asia is growing. And so how do we do that? Well, for us personally, He's given us, by the way, I put this next slide up. That's in a beautiful place. It says, thank you. I just wanted to remind myself again that you guys have been with me and with us through this journey. Your prayers have sustained us. You're praying, church. And your support, of course, has helped us go. Those are very real practical needs. It costs money to buy airplane tickets and to live out there, too. But you're people who love God. So I want to say thank you. The next slide shows that we have a call back to family. This is something God clarified to us. Judy's mom is not doing well. And I won't go into detail, but you know, she needed us home, and she needed her oldest daughter to help her through some really big challenges she's facing. And my dad is, he's getting along well. At the same time, God led us to step into a new reality. We had to step out of MB Mission. We're in our last month with MB Mission. And we didn't expect it, but he opened up an opportunity for us to step into a ministry called Good News International Ministries. And it's a small mission based in the Lower Mainland here that has been reaching out. In the past, it was reaching out into Africa. And now we've taken it over and we've been able to redirect it. And we're going to reach out into those regions. We want to penetrate Shun State with the gospel. We want to help equip indigenous leaders. That's our plan, is to, we want to get behind the leaders that are out there and help them to reach their people for Jesus. Like the couple that we showed earlier that have adopted the baby. They're out there living in a village. They're church planting. We want to help them keep going. And God's opened up several opportunities that we're now looking into making long-term partnerships. So we've got partnerships growing in Thailand, in Myanmar, and in the Philippines as well. All among poor and oppressed people. All among people who need that grace and that extra touch of God. So that's our plan. We're still going to be members at Central Heights. We're wanting to continue on. We love the Mennonite Brethren. We're part of you. We're part of this fellowship. And yet sometimes God takes you to a whole new change and a path. You know, it's linked. We're all part of one. There's only one kingdom of God. There's only one true church of Jesus Christ. We're all part of it. And yet, I love what the Mennonite Brethren bring to that. And the devotional, wonderful, risk-taking obedience, it's there. And so we've been influenced. We want to keep going. The last slide, you can just skip past that one. And just go to that one. You'll be able to take a look and follow us along. We got a website. We're just it's in process, but it's up. And gniministries.ca will be our website. You're welcome to track along with us. I got a little sheet at the back if you want to sign up for newsletters and stay informed on what God is doing. And as always, we covet your prayers. And thank you for blessing us.